Hello, everybody. Here we go. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, April the 20th, 2015. Hope you had a great weekend and looking forward to a very good week. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream our show at kvoi.com and buckmastershow.com, and all of our podcasts and the complete show archive available for you anytime, anywhere in the world, 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We will begin, as we do each Monday afternoon, with our Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30. We have a scheduled conversation with novelist Elizabeth Evans, and then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. The Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040. And our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Every Monday afternoon on Buckmaster, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring one of two teams of commentators. This week, it's Bruce Ash. Bruce is in his third year as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom is the former chairman of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, Mo will come out and do all the hanging for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they are on Facebook. Paul, how was your weekend?
Nice. It was beautiful weather, that's for sure.
And, Bruce, you were out of town.
Glad to be here today. Thank you.
Glad you're here. And, Paul, were you out gardening at all?
No. I just went out and enjoyed the went up to Mount Lemmon a little bit and you know, picnic, and it was beautiful.
Well, our friend Ed on the other side of the glass was up at Mount Lemmon, and he actually saw smoke, right, Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was going on?
Well, there was a fire, and we saw it start behind this house, and we saw the wind. It was very windy on Saturdays when we were up.
Yeah.
And it started going up this ridge, and we called 911. They said we just had another call, and it had just started. And then they closed down the road up and everything, so we got out of there. But it went into forest land, so it didn't get to any more structures. So.
Well, I saw your post on Facebook, and it looked... It looked bad initially.
That was just the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully that will not portend a really horrible fire season here in southern Arizona. Bruce, you have a slate of three Republican candidates that have been announced for there will be three ward council people are up for election, along with the mayor. So far, there's not a Republican opponent for Mayor Rothschild. But do you like this slate?
Well, thank you for asking. We do have a great slate of candidates. Bill Hunt is running against an incumbent in Ward 1. Bill is a Raytheon engineer, project leader, former Air Force officer. Very, very involved in the community, both as his homeowner association president, and does a lot of work for humanitarian causes, using some of his aviation skills, ferrying doctors and dentists and so on across borders. And great guy. Interesting. He's a cyclist, you know, bicyclist,
mm-hmm.
and you know, has both understood a little better road conditions here in Tucson, Arizona, as well as he kind of sees the homeless situation right very, very personally up close.
He is a candidate in the heavily Democratic ward number one. He's seeking to challenge incumbent Democrat Raheena Romero.
Yeah, he is, and that's a citywide vote, as we know. And Kelly Lawton is running against an incumbent, a Democrat incumbent in Ward 2. Kelly is a Tucson guy, grew up here, went to Palo Verde High School, started as a baggage handler for Delta Airlines at Tucson International Airport, rose all the way up in that company, working at the corporate level in Atlanta, Georgia, loves Tucson, came back to Tucson, got his degree along the way. He is an educator and actually runs the Embry-Riddle Aviation operation here in Southern Arizona. This is a collegiate level kind of a program. Another cyclist, another guy who really understands the road situation here, as well as the homelessness issue. And our third candidate.
I should point out that Lawton, Mr. Lawton will be challenging incumbent Democrat Paul Cunningham in Ward 2. And you say now your third candidate will be going up against incumbent Democrat Shirley Scott in Ward 4.
Longtime incumbent who I think has, maybe lost a little bit of her energy and motivation. Margaret Burkholder is our candidate out in Ward 4. Margaret is a school board member, former president of the Vail Unified School District, one of the top school districts in Arizona. By the way, Vail School District gets the same amount of money per student as 2USD, and they are an excelling school district. And Margaret has been part of probably the most explosive growth of that school district over the past 12 years or so. And, she started out just as an interested mom. Her kids were going to school there, and she figured that if good things were going to happen, maybe she could help it happen. And I think that's what all three of them are going to bring to the job on the city council. There should be debate. There should be some differing opinions, and we've had a lot of problems in the city of Tucson. Tucson deserves better. I think these three candidates will do exactly that.
All right. Paul, some of your thoughts.
Well, it's interesting because I know Bruce is a big advocate for ward-only elections. And, the gentleman he talked about running against Regina Romero in a heavily Democratic district wouldn't have a chance of beating her, except for in our charter, we have it as a citywide election after the primary. So, I'm not sure why Bruce is so gung-ho about ward only, although I don't have a problem with ward only in the city wide elections. But
you're kind of confused why Bruce and some others have brought this suit.
Let me just say this: I think the city council, unlike in past years, has done a really good job over the past few years under the leadership of Jonathan Rothschild, our mayor, in terms of trying to attract better businesses here, better paying jobs. We're getting the roads paved. I mean, yeah, they were under real need, and now we're starting to see that. And obviously, you know it when you drive through town and there's different road construction going on, which can be frustrating, but the roads are getting paved now. And so they're making progress on that. Frankly, there isn't a lot to complain about how the city is going right now. It's going in the right direction. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle for challengers to beat incumbents this year in the city election. So given that, I think Paul Cunningham and Shirley Scott, who I haven't seen her lose any energy in her job, and Raheem Romero should get reelected because there isn't a lot to complain about mm-hmm. right now in terms of the city council.
This is exactly the reason that there will be a sea change in this election in the fall, because Democrats like Paul and apparently Shirley and Rahina and Paul don't think there's a problem, and they're pretty satisfied with how things are, and apparently they're not listening or not watching, not observing what's going on around town. Don't forget, Paul wants to talk about charter change because he knows that there's not a lot for these guys to run. There aren't any new jobs to speak of here in this town, hardly.
Talk about charter change. You're the one that filed the lawsuit, not me.
One of the worst poverty situations, child poverty situations anywhere in the entire country. We have just about the lowest, not just job growth, but the lowest income growth. And most of the road paving that we're doing here.
That's a problem statewide, by the way. All of that is a problem statewide, and the state legislature, who's run by the Republicans, is to fault for all that.
Let me finish. I know you always like to be able to finish. And most of the road construction we have going on here in Tucson isn't the road repair projects that we bonded for a couple of years ago, the $100 million project. That's a very minute project. Most of what we're seeing is the RTA, which we voted on nearly 10 years ago.
Let me address some of those.
We brought that suit up, and some folks who may not be, Paul, aware of what happened, Bruce and, two former supervisors candidates and two former council candidates, along with a group called the Public Integrity Alliance, suing the city, claiming the system that is used in the city for electing city council members violates voters' 14th Amendment rights.
It's exactly right. And, you know, Paul, I would feel exactly the same way if this was a 7-0 Republican majority. The one-man, one-vote rule just clearly has been violated here in the city of Tucson. We are the only city in the country who still does it this way. And, you know, for all of the concern that, that guys like Paul claim to have about fairness, if Harvey Milk, who had a similar situation in San Francisco, if Harvey Milk were forced to run under these kind of conditions, he would have never been an elected city councilman. He would have never been elected mayor of San Francisco. And this is an unfair situation. It harkens back to Jim Crow days. Guys like Paul and others in the party like to poo-poo. Well, it's just Republicans.
All right, now it's Paul's turn.
It's all about representation in certain parts of town where there's no representation today.
I've said on this radio program, I have no problem with going ward only in the general election. You know why? One, it means a permanent majority for Democrats on the city council. And it also probably means, and this is probably a bad thing for the city, because that the people in the wards don't have to, if they don't have to run in the general election citywide, then it's all about the primary. And in the primary, you're going to get more ideologically driven candidates because of the low turnout in those primaries. So, you know, Bruce, you know, you wish for this, but it's actually going to drive the city council further to the left if you go that way. Now, I will say this. The Charter Commission had come up with some ideas to go to ward only, and there was a real impetus on – you very well may have gotten 4 votes on the city council to put it on the ballot this year. The problem is this lawsuit blew it all up. Nobody's going to vote for that. Yeah.
That's absolutely your excuse, Paul. It's only an excuse.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
Then we're going to take a break.
The only reason this is going on, this lawsuit is happening, it's frivolous. This has been settled law for a very long time.
Wrong.
And it has been.
And hold your thought there.
The Arizona Supreme Court's ruled on it. The federal government has reviewed that. Well,
thank you, Paul.
We'll talk more about the lawsuit in a minute, Paul.
One last point. Okay. The only reason this lawsuit is happening is to create an issue in the city elections because the Republicans have nothing to run on.
All right.
The city's doing well. Downtown's thriving. I don't know what the complaint is.
We will take our break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040. When we come back, we'll go to Matthew. He'd like to talk about the lawsuit right after this.
I can't believe we just saved $75,000 on our new dream home site. We discovered Rancho Soldados, the new custom home gated community with spectacular home sites located on Old Soldiers Trail. They are offering only 12 $75,000 discount lots, and we got one. Only 6 more are left. You have to see the custom homes already completed in Rancho Soldados to envision what's possible for your dream home.
On Tanque Verde East Old Soldiers Trail, 207-4188, represented by Long Realty.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, Hey, honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Moe loves a very spirited conversation, and we're getting that, as usual, today with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Matthew wants to talk about this lawsuit that Bruce Ash is a part of. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yes. Yeah. Well, first of all, what they're suing, truthfully, is the city charter. Right? It's not the city of Tucson or the city council that is the reason this voting is done this way. It's our physical charter, and of course, the city attorney has a duty to defend that. But here's my comment: I think it's a very interesting suit because. It may have unintended consequences. I think it has very, very reasonable grounds for arguing the 14th Amendment. But the interesting thing is now that the Voting Rights Act has been sort of diminished a little by the Congress, this actual lawsuit I see having an unintended consequence. If it actually gets heard all the way up to the Supreme Court and they actually rule that the equal protection of the voters was affected. Okay. The Republicans may have opened up a whole new door into for legal scholars to attempt to find new ways to protect voters against things like laws that prohibit things like voting ID that diminish their ability to vote, like voting ID.
Matthew.
Encouraged by them filing this lawsuit, and I think they'll find that other civil rights organizations may join them in it at a later date.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
Let me address that.
Go ahead, Paul.
One, I don't have a problem with going ward only. I want to make that very clear. But one of the things is under the 14th Amendment, and I'm a lawyer, so you have to be a part of a protective class, like a racial group that's being discriminated against. And we were under that scrutiny for years under the Voting Rights Act until it was diminished. Arizona was. And so the city charter had to go through the federal check on that for years and years. And this charter has been in place. This provision of the charter has been in place since 1929. So it's already been checked out. And let me make one other point. A protected minority class, there's certain aspects, race, gender, things like that. Political parties are not a protected class. I mean, the Republicans or Democrats can't do a lawsuit under the equal protection based on them being a protected class. And so this lawsuit is this frivolous, and the only reason it is politically motivated to create an issue for the election. That's all it's about.
You predict Paul to be thrown out.
Yeah, and Arizona Supreme Court's ruled already that cities have a right to do their own charters. And so I don't see where it goes in the courts at all.
Well, under Paul's plan, we should change the laws in the state of Arizona so that we have a partisan primary in each of the 9 congressional districts. And then when we go to the general ballot in November, and I'd be fine with this also, Paul, just for the record, then all of Arizona would vote upon who serves as congressperson from each of the 9 districts.
I never said that. I didn't say that.
Paul, it's the same concept.
That's the U.S. Constitution. It's a whole different thing than the Tucson City Charter.
One at a time.
And I also said that I support ward only, Bruce.
Okay, then we should go that way, Paul.
Okay, well,
because you know, patently it's unfair.
Well, if you hadn't filed the lawsuit, there's a good chance the city council will put it on the ballot for the voters to vote on it. But now there's no chance because we filed the lawsuit.
Do you think, you think this thing could have legs, but Paul points out, he believes it will be thrown out very early on.
Bill, I'm not going to make any other comments with respect to
the lawsuit,
the merits of the lawsuit and how the lawyers are going to present their case. The case will first be heard, I believe, on May 8th, and it will be a lengthy process, I'm sure, and Corey Langhofer and Tom Pasil are two of the smartest constitutional guys out there, and there will be other help going into this lawsuit over a period of time.
And there is going to be unintended consequences if they win, which is a permanent majority by the Democrats on the city council. In the past, the Republicans have enjoyed at least a working majority in the past because they can beat people in those heavily Democratic wards because it's a citywide race. So if the Republicans want to go that way, I have no problem with it.
Okay.
It's just it seems silly to do this, except it's politically motivated.
Are you both on the same page? I'm trying to find some area for agreement here as we wrap this up, that the mayor should have more power. That will be one of the items that could be on the ballot in November under a charter change. Bruce?
Well, before I answer that question,
okay.
I believe there will be a Republican mayoral candidate who will stand against Jonathan Rothschild.
Okay.
I think it's good to have a contest in all of these different elections.
Yeah, I don't think anybody disagrees with that one.
Well, there's been a lot of information out that suggests the Democrats really don't want to have a contest for mayor, but you know, it's a free country still. We can have an election.
Well, if we don't have a contest, we have a winner. So yeah, I guess we would like that. But of course, I have no problem with actually having a contest.
So I spoke. I appeared at 2 different hearings. Mm-hmm. One just for the committee, and one was an overall town hall. And I spoke very much in favor of a stronger mayor setup here in the city of Tucson. I think it's very important. And I think that we have had mayors who have used the bully pulpit to their effectiveness, even when they did not have a majority on the city council. And even though the law under the city charter is set up this way, you look back at Jim Corbett, you look back at Lou Murphy, certainly was probably the best case. But it's hard using the bully pulpit all the time, and the hiring and firing part is a pretty important part of being a mayor, and the mayor really has not even the ability to set an agenda right now.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I agree with Bruce on this.
I agree with Bruce
on ward only, by the way.
Wonderful.
I keep saying that.
Okay.
But I agree with Bruce that we need a stronger mayor. I think a mayor that can hire and fire, runs the executive branch of the city, and has veto power over the city council legislation. That I think would be the best possible situation in terms of getting our city moving even further forward, because a strong mayor system makes it easier for the city then to negotiate with bringing in companies, for example. So a lot of those things, I'm in agreement with Bruce. I think it was a mistake back in 1929 when they set this system up as a weak mayor system.
Well, one of the things that the Democrats are going to propose, most likely, and by the way, the Charter Change Commission was like a 14-1 Democrat majority. Casey Nye said that there was great diversity. There was very little diversity on that commission. But one of the things they talked about was veto power, and one of the vehicles to get to veto power was to add wards. And all that does is help Democrats get more control in more parts of the city. And we'll see how the wards get divvied up. That could be very problematic and should be rejected by voters if that comes to the ballot.
Okay. Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom, thank you, gentlemen. And they'll go out of here as they always do, friends, despite a rather heated session. This Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gowrie in Fort Lowell and Dodge, the location, very convenient, Midtown, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and then moesgowrie.com, their website, and of course, they're on Facebook. Check it out. Moe and his family been in this business since 1985. They can take care of all of your framing needs for you. We're going to come back here at 12, a few minutes. We'll have Elizabeth Evans, author, with us right after this.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for your stuff. Goodwill is accepting donations of clothes, electronics, and household items. The revenues from your gently used items will fund job training and community-based services to people here in Southern Arizona. So while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring, you'll be helping someone else nearby do the same. More information is available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five-star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will. Your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five-star. That's Five-star. 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Joining us on Buckmaster, one of America's great writers. She also happens to be based here in Tucson. Elizabeth Evans is Professor Emeritus for the Program in Creative Writing at the University of Arizona, a National Endowment for the Arts Fellow. Elizabeth is the author of 6 books of fiction, including 2 short story collections and 4 novels. Those novels, Rowing in Eden, The Blue Hour, Carter Clay, which was named by the Los Angeles Times as one of the best books of the year, and the new book, As Good as Dead, which has just been published by Bloomsbury. Elizabeth, how are you? Good to see you.
Oh, great to see you again, Bill.
Why don't we begin with the title, As Good as Dead. What's that about?
Well, this is a story of a woman who lives in Tucson, goes to her door one day and finds there an old friend out of the past who she betrayed. And she doesn't know whether to be happy. Maybe she can make up to her old friend, or perhaps this old friend is coming for a payback. And the As Good as Dead refers to her sense of what had become of their friendship. She felt she was as good as dead to the friend, and perhaps that was a good thing.
And they met, these two ladies, 20 years prior to when the former very good friend shows up at the other friend's doorstep.
Yes.
They met at a writer's conference, but then the whole relationship became estranged.
Yes. They met at the famous Iowa Writers' Workshop. They were graduate students there, and that made a very nice hotbed environment for competitive feelings and the possibility of betrayal.
Trust then becomes eroded, and you have to wonder, well, what is it about the woman that shows up? What is it? What happened to the trust?
Well, my main character, Charlotte, had been very seduced by this friendship with Esme, who was a sophisticated city girl. Charlotte was a small-town Iowa girl, blue-collar, and she was pretty confused by some of the things that happened in the friendship and ended up doing something very stupid and not in her best interests. And her fear is, you know, now here it is 20 years later, she's 40, and this woman knows secrets about her, and will her husband find out these secrets? That's one of the big concerns.
How did the whole project, this project, come about?
There was, I'd been very interested in friendships. And of course, betrayal is something that often is a feature of human relationships. There are lots of different negotiations that we go through. And I had heard a story many years ago about an older woman who had a friend from her past show up and ask for a rather terrible favor. And I was intrigued by that story for about 30 years. I thought, oh, that's a very interesting situation. And it could play out in many different ways. And finally, after thinking it through for many years, I started making notes. And before too long, I had a story, and then my editor said, oh, no, this is a bigger story. Let's see, can you make it into a novel? And that's the beginning of As Good As Dead.
And you base the book, part of the book, in Tucson.
Yes. The book is pretty evenly divided between Tucson, where the narrator lives in the present, and Iowa City, where the women were in graduate school.
You spent some time in Iowa City.
Yes. Yeah. I went to the Iowa Writers' Workshop, and of course I live in Tucson, so many people say, is this autobiographical?
That was going to be that's the next question, yeah.
And
did someone from your past show up a few years ago or something?
No, but I was very intrigued by that story because I think that many people are interested in, you know, how friendships work out, and female friendships seem to have the possibility for a lot of competitive feelings, and so I seem to have hit the mother lode here with people are fascinated by the story on many different levels, you know, husbands and wives and old girlfriends, and then there's also the writer's angle. People are interested in the writer's life and so on.
How has the business changed since you began writing professionally?
Well, I think that it has changed.
Yes.
It has changed. Publishing has changed. When I was starting out to be a self-publisher was very much frowned upon, and
yes,
now people are doing that with real success. I have never tried that myself, but I don't rule out that possibility. Certainly the social media has become so influential, and I am making my way slowly toward learning how to use social media.
You've put a couple of toes in the water.
I've put a few toes in the water, yes.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Evans. Her latest book is As Good As Dead. This book, so it would take you how long to produce this novel? How long was it in the works?
Well, generally, I spend about 5 years working on a novel. This particular book was a little different because I was working on a novel, broke away, wrote a very long story, which actually was published as a story, a very long story. I was lucky Cutthroat published it at 40 pages. Mm-hmm. And then I had the editor say, let's see if you can do a novel with it. So it's kind of hard to say. I think maybe about 3 years on this one.
You have just returned from about a month book tour in the Midwest, and I'm very curious, Elizabeth Evans. People like a hardback book. They like the feel of a book. They like it in their hands. But, of course, the electronic books are very popular, too. Where do you see that going?
Well, I'm like you. I like to have the book. I like having that feeling of, you know, the pages in my left hand and getting more and more pages as I go through the book. And I do read some work I took on the tour Kindle and, mm-hmm. and did some reading that way. But for me, there's something about that tactile sense that I can't imagine ever wanting to give that up myself.
I hope that does not go away.
Yes.
Although publishers are publishing less books, certainly the hardcover books.
Yes, yes. I was lucky that they did a hardcover because my last book they did only paperback, and it's still available in paper, but also as an ebook.
All right. What would be then the takeaway message from As Good as Dead? What would you like the reader to take away?
Well, it's a book that I think is about, its essence is about how having secrets can distort a person's life. And I don't think my character fully realizes that until this person out of her past appears, and so it's an interesting journey for her.
And the book is available, I guess, on Amazon. I know on Amazon,
yes,
and all the usual places.
Yes, and in bookstores in town. I love to see people go to the independents. Mm-hmm. And so I've done a reading at Antigone Books, and I'm sure it's available at most of the other spots.
One of the last survivors, Antigone Books, of
yes.
the independents. Elizabeth Evans, the book is called As Good as Dead. And we thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
All right, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Water, our most precious resource. Without it, living here in Tucson and the rest of the desert Southwest would not be possible. Where does our water come from? How can we use it more sustainably? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we study the interplay of rain, climate, and landscape. Dive into the ways we use water this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Tuesday on The Buckmaster Show, why your water bills will soon be going up, plus our every other Tuesday arts report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Buckmaster, noon to one each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and our show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're into bicycling, and so many people in Tucson are, you might want to take the bicycle over to Silver City, put it in the back of the van, and head over there, 3 hours east of Tucson. The Tour of the Gila gets underway April the 29th, and then for those that love the blues, Silver City Blues and Bike Festival, we're talking about motorcycle bikes, are now included in the festival this year, so there will be a lot of bikers, and Taj Mahal will be headlining the 20th year celebrating this free Silver City event. It's turned into one of the big blues festivals in the United States. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Also, the full listing of great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat. Let's welcome now Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, based here in Tucson, now in its 43rd year as a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He's the former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group, and he is part of the science team for the NASA mission known as Dawn, which is growing very closer by the day to Ceres, the dwarf planet that is the biggest thing in the asteroid belt between Jupiter and Mars. Mark, how are you?
Great. It's great to be here, Bill.
And things are getting very mysterious about Ceres. There's some kind of a white spot, and that will be actually what is the title of your talk tonight?
The Dawn mission at Ceres, Hunting for the Great White Spot.
The Great White Spot. And what do we think this white spot is?
Well, it could be the emergence of water from a subsurface ocean onto the surface, leaving evaporites like you see around a geyser, like Old Faithful, on the surface. And Ceres is so dark, it's like a lump of coal. It only reflects 9% of the light, that there's this bright white stuff on the surface, which is very contrasting and very intriguing.
Are we going to know very soon about this spot as Dawn really gets very close, right?
We're learning more and more almost every day. Last week, we got some new observations in that I'll be showing tonight, and which is our first barely resolving of that spot, and indicating that it's even more. It just gets more interesting with time. This next weekend, we will come. We'll be about 11,000 kilometers away from the surface of Ceres, and we'll have twice the resolution that we did last week. And so, you know, as things get more into focus, the more we're learning.
And the Dawn mission will actually spend about 3 weeks in a kind of a near circular orbit around Ceres?
Yeah, it's, we call it rotational characterization three, and we're, it's going to start off kind of from the dark side a bit, looking at the kind of the sliver of the illuminated side of Ceres, looking for a haze or dust layer above it, which would be the smoke of a smoking gun of any like geyser or other kind of activity like that going on the surface.
What's the most exciting thing about this Ceres project to you?
Well, for me, it's the prospect of finding evidence for an interior ocean, which then, of course, raises the question of could there be life down there? Mm-hmm. And if the water is actually communicating with the surface that we see with this great white spot, then it might be possible to send another mission to Ceres, go down to the surface, scoop up some of that white stuff, and say, are there any dead bugs in there? And potentially make the most important discovery in human history.
And that, of course, is
the discovery of life beyond Earth.
There you go. Mark Sykes is going to be speaking tonight. It's a public lecture on the University of Arizona campus. It's part of a public lecture series of the Stewart Observatory. It begins at 7:30 tonight in the Stewart Building, and that's at 933 North Cherry. It's room N210, but I guess once you get in the building, you can ask where and
yeah, it's kind of on the south side, or no, let's hear it. You know, it's on the west side of the building, outside of the building.
Can you show? You'll be showing, I assume, some visuals tonight.
Oh yeah, I'll have some movies and then slides and a little song and dance, and you know, we'll be going over everything.
Why this project to go to the Dawn mission? When did you first get involved with this?
I've been involved with Dawn since 1999.
Wow.
When I came up with me and some other guys up at NASA Glenn developed the first trajectory design for the mission. We'd been doing mission planning for some time. This was actually our fifth effort and the first one that was successful. And because we would always start at Vesta, we were doing some multiple asteroid missions. We'd always start at Vesta, which was the first Dawn target. But in this instance, we said, "Hey, now we got this. We got Ceres coming in, available to be our second target." So we went with it.
And I mentioned about 3 weeks in this near circular orbit. Why just 3 weeks?
Well, because we're not done there. We're going to be characterizing.
Moving on to other places.
We're going to be going even lower into our survey orbit. And then from that, we'll be going down to our Hama orbit. Ultimately, we'll be 325 kilometers above the surface.
Wow.
That's will be as close as we get. We'll be right now. I said we were going to be this next Saturday seeing things at 1.2 kilometers a pixel. In December, we'll be down to 35 meters a pixel.
Wow, that's going to give you some fantastic images.
Oh, it's going to be great. And actually, that's the point when the PSI's instrument, the gamma-ray neutron spectrometer, will be able to start really getting its data on the elemental composition of the surface and looking for water water and water ice underneath the surface.
So that is an instrument that was designed by your colleagues at the Planetary Science Institute right here in Tucson.
Yes. When they were at Los Alamos National Lab, they designed and built this instrument, and then ultimately they moved from there to PSI, and so PSI is actually operating the instrument for the Dawn mission.
How big a deal was NASA's spacecraft Messenger being the first, first space mission to orbit Mercury, the planet closest to the sun?
Well, it was a great deal. It arrived in 2011, and on April 30th, it's going to be plowing the ground. It's been orbiting, you know, for the past 4 years, and it's made a number of amazing discoveries, ice and organics in permanently shaded regions at the poles. It discovered that.
Are you saying there's ice in the planet closest to the sun?
Right. Because it's not tilted like the Earth is, and so there's areas in the poles that are permanently shaded, and that means it's very cold, and ice has been able to accumulate. Water ice has been able to accumulate up there, along with some other organic materials, probably coming from comets impacting Mercury over time. Messenger discovered that it has a huge core, you know, huge metallic core. It's at 85% of the radius of Mercury. They found some evidence of volcanism on the surface, these giant rifts, you know, that lava came out of sometime in the past, creating features on the surface. And then there's the Deathly Hollows that they also discovered. Okay, it's not Deathly Hollows, just hollows, they call them, that look like imprints of Swiss cheese on the surface, where some volatiles had escaped, and they're kind of bright, and that some of them have halos, and it could be some sulfur compounds. They're still their formation and what they are is still pretty mysterious.
That is very cool. Water in the uppermost region of Mercury's atmosphere, and who would have ever thought it? And I guess Mercury, the messenger, just kind of ran out of fuel. Was that the deal?
Yeah. And so they've been taking advantage of it by going lower and lower, you know, not worrying about bad things happening, and getting yet more sensitive data on gravity, seeing things at higher spatial resolutions. And but they're about out, and so they're planning their descent into the surface.
Mark Sykes, Tucson Planetary Science Institute, thank you very much. And again, your public lecture series tonight, 7:30, room N210, Stewart Building, 933 North Cherry Avenue. All the latest on NASA's Dawn spacecraft growing very close now to the dwarf planet Ceres. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. If you're looking for a great auto mechanic, I've got you covered. Mike Emery and his fabulous team at Perfection Auto Works can take care of all of your foreign and domestic automobiles. PerfectionAutoWorks.com and the convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway, 1046 North Beverly, 323-8650. They're offering a free 26-point inspection. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I will be back with you. Ed Alexander will be with me as well tomorrow at 12:04 this afternoon for Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw hosts that show, produced by Ray Allen, and then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 in the morning, and then the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone with the Daily Double, Chris and a guest host every day. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.